Hello, this is Lobster De La Hoya, here to annoy ya. If you ever been to the Paramount Moore or Neptune Theaters in Seattle, Washington, you know just how special they are. I'm asking you to save your stages by donating at stgpresents.org/donate.
This is Jeff Redding. I'm here with Steve Martin and Dan Droz. We have a very special guest, Karen Mason Blair, on Seattle Today.
Whoa, you're air drumming.
You know what I figured out about air drumming? If you want to do it right, you have to pretend you're left-handed. So you don't look like you know what you're doing.
So you don't know what you look like you're doing?
Yeah. Karen, how are you?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me. This is really awesome of you guys to ask me to be on your new show.
I couldn't be happier to have you here. Steve.
Another awesome 90s guest to revisit the awesome 90s.
Oh. Yeah. Karen, what was it you were saying about this place right when you walked in?
Well, I guess today is the actual 113th birthday of the Moore Theater. So let's raise a glass, give a cheer.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Cheers. Happy birthday, Moore, for rocking us.
Right, let's not spill on anything while we're... happy birthday.
Do
happy
or
birthday.
Don't. Karen, you've done work here.
Oh, yeah.
What was the first time you shot a band here?
I would have to say Metallica, Ride the Lightning.
Back when. What?
Yeah.
Did Metallica Ride the Lightning here?
And they were all my friends. And literally...
Time out. I was like...
Right?
How old were you?
Seriously, I was like 21, 13? Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
what year is that?
Ride the Lightning Tour.
Mid-80s.
Because
85, maybe.
I had the Ride the Lightning t-shirt with the dagger coming out of the toilet. And I was like, maybe a freshman?
Jesus.
A freshman.
Knew about Metallica. And my friends, I was all friends with Metal Church, you know? And so they're like, we're going to the show. And so we all come down here and we're like, what? And we're just mind blown. We had already listened to their songs, but then to see them live, it was insane.
And did you work it or you were just here?
No, I was just here. I didn't shoot it, but later I went on to shoot Metallica. I went to Europe with them and stuff. And so, way early, like I was asked to go to James's wedding. I was asked to go to, Lars's wedding.
Outstanding.
And I gave Kurt Hammett a ride to, Joe Satriani's house for guitar lessons. And I go, are you sure you want me to walk in with you? And he's like, oh no, I got it, Karen. Thanks.
That's amazing. And what year was that? Rad.
Oh, that was like late 80s too. Yeah.
And so you went to Europe, you were in Europe and like went on tour with them?
Yeah. With Metal Church. Yeah.
Okay. And they were opening for Metallica? Or
mm-hmm.
they were,
yeah.
Yeah. And what tour is that? What tour would that be?
Well, it was right after Ride the Lightning.
So right after.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So I was a busboy. I was a busboy at a restaurant in Bellevue, and Metal Church was having dinner at that restaurant with their management. And, I was I'm like, guys, what's going on? I'm like, are you guys in a band? And they're like, yeah. And they were super nice.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're in Metal Church. And I'm like, you guys are in Metal Church? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, killer. And, you know, fast forward, blah, 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 blah. I ran across the street to the Fred Meyers and went to the record. I went to the Music Mart and Fred Meyers or whatever
when they had
and
records.
Looked up the Metal Church albums. And I was like, whoa, it's them. It was so good. It's my Metal Church story.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did you run over there while you were working?
Yeah.
Did
totally.
You buy
the
record?
Same parking lot. No.
Okay.
I didn't have $10.
No,
I
got any money.
I had no money. Yeah.
Nice. You didn't believe him. You're like, you know what? That's bullshitting me.
But
that's
I was just like, whoa, Metal Church. I'm like, okay, never seen your show.
Had you heard of them?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd heard of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What was the first band you shot here?
Gosh, I don't know. I'm going to have to say, I'm going to go with Alice, I think, because they're like my most photographed band.
Right.
I mean, like, I think I went to almost all their shows
all
in the beginning.
Shows.
I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And they seemed to play more than Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and even Mother Love Bone back then. They seemed to just be really going. Yeah.
It felt like they were just, you know, they were like just in... like go, go, go. Mm-hmm. Show, show, show.
Yeah.
Shows.
They loved to rock, though. I mean, it was their fun time, you know.
And were you friends with them beforehand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like Jerry Cantrell used to sleep on my couch, you know, like, and we were all friends. And the first time I ever met Lane, he set me up on a blind date. Jerry set me up on a blind date with Lane Staley. And we went to the Tramp Alley house of all places. And I was.
Tramp Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Reoccurring memory. Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, I had my Camaro and so I drove because no one had a car. And so we get out there and. You know, of course, I love Tramp Alley, and I did all their photos back in the day, too. And so the minute we get there, you know, Lane goes in the back room and just parties out. And then I'm like, you guys, let's go. And then Lane came out of the bedroom, and then we left. And I was like, hey, Jerry, I'm not into your friend. He's not into girls
or drugs
or whatever, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was it. I mean, you know, and then we were just all fast friends, you know. That was it. I've never been on a blind date in my life, just so you know.
Yeah, no.
I never want another one.
So if you have to go on a blind date, you know, Lane Staley, not a bad, you know, one-off.
It sounded like a cheap date. I mean, like, you didn't have to really...
Just pay for gas.
That's pretty much it. The Camaro was getting, like, 8 miles to the gallon, but it was the 90s, so you're like...
It's probably the 80s.
Like, yeah.
It was the 80s.
It was the 69 Camaro. Oh, man. It's fully restored. It was gorgeous.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it was probably about $40 in gas. So it could be
even
know,
for them.
Although, because gas is 85 cents a gallon.
That was so cool.
God, I wonder if that's ever going to come back. So Alice in Chains was like, that was the first band you started shooting.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to tell you, like, it was Metallica for sure. I mean, like, Metallica was like my biggest band in the beginning. And then, yeah, then so I did a bunch of the hair bands and then I moved to Los Angeles.
So you started shooting because you knew Metal Church? Is that sort of how you got your start?
Well, I actually started in high school. Like, my boyfriend was in a band, and I managed that my boyfriend's band in high school.
You want to give him a shout out?
Oh, yeah, what were they?
No, they were called Rage. I mean, come on. And so then, anyways, I mean, this is way long ago. And so... they were like, we need photos. And I was like, okay. And so I started looking around. All these photographers were very expensive. And then, so I said, well, I'll buy a camera. Like, if I'm going to pay that for a photo shoot, I'll go buy the camera. So I went and bought a camera, and then I took these pictures, and they're like, Karen, these are really good. And I'm like, oh, you guys are just saying that because they're free. And then I'm like, started looking around. I was like, well, maybe these are really good.
Let me just jump in here really fast. That was very industry of you. Well, if photographers are this much, I'll just go buy a camera. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, wow.
That's early.
You can be a promoter rep. It's just like, that's perfect. This is absolutely perfect.
It just did not make sense.
Right.
Yeah, right. And they have no money, so it was good. I was going to spend the money.
No money. They didn't have any money.
So it's your money. You might as well get a camera out of the deal.
That is the wise investment right there.
Right. Invest in myself, motherfucker.
Pawn that later. Get 50% back at the pawn shop if you... Totally. Shit goes south.
Yeah. All right. So you're doing that. You're doing it for Rage, and then you do it for like what? How does the trajectory look like?
Well, yeah. So I just started. You know. So my story is more like a fangirl with a camera, and then what I did is then I went and I added education. So I have a commercial photography degree, and so I got my commercial photography degree at Seattle Central Community College, and then I moved to Hollywood. Like, the day I graduated, and 2 weeks later, I'm in a moving van, and I moved to Hollywood.
Like, driving to L.A. Yeah. Hollywood.
And then I got a studio in L.A. at the brewery, and so then...
What was the brewery?
Oh, it's the old Pabst Blue Ribbon, and it's like this artist commune, and there's like 1,000 artists and photographers in this place. I mean, it's who's who. It's off of Main Street in downtown L.A.
Okay.
Everyone in L.A. knows about it. And so then I landed Faith No More, and I did their photo shoot for the album The Real Thing. I did their first photo shoots, for the first photos of that band.
I just saw that one on, I was Googling you.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, now who, some of the bands, I'm like, who the fuck is that? It's like, oh, that's Faith No More.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So had you done anything? So what year did you move to LA?
I want to say 88.
So before things.
Before the grunge.
Right.
Yeah. So, but everyone was still, they're all my friends. Then I went to LA And I lived there for like a year and did all the hair bands, you know, the Faster Pussycat, the LA Guns and all that stuff. And then LA just wasn't my thing, you know. And I was friends with, you know, Megadeth, and I did a lot of metal. And then I moved back, and all of a sudden, hey, Alice in Chains gets signed. They're like, Karen, do my photos. And then Soundgarden gets, hey, Karen, do my photos. And hey, Karen, do my photos. Perfect. And it was just like everybody.
Now,
Karen,
Karen, Karen, do my photos. Were you competing with Charles Peterson?
Yes, but you know, it's crazy because he's actually.
But in a friend kind of a not, you know.
Well, yeah.
I don't think you guys were like, you know, there was bad blood if somebody got, and you know, like, oh, I'm doing this band versus
Karen,
I'm doing
Karen
this
actually
band.
Shanked him at one point.
Well, the thing is Charles Peterson actually worked for Sub Pop, so he was on their payroll. So he was kind of, he was their in-house photographer, so he shot all those bands. Whereas I, you know, I had to like hustle. I had to get every job I got. I had to, you know, I didn't have like a sponsor like Pearl Jam and, you know, Lance or something like that. So, I mean, I was over there just like building my career, you know? Yep. And so I had to call, I had to call back and then go, I want that. And so my entire catalog of bands, mostly why people say, gosh, you shot all the, you know, the best bands is because all the bands that I loved their music, I would just go, I'm going to shoot that band, that band, that band.
Right.
And so I built my own collection because I sought after, like I did Radiohead's second photo session ever in 93, and I just got that photo into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So
congratulations.
Oh, yeah, totally. Thank
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Was shot at Rock Candy.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And yeah, and then I got the cover of their Creep single.
Rock Candy comes up again.
Rock Candy, baby. Oh, was that a fun place, guys?
Rock Candy was fun. Didn't we love going to the off-ramp, zigzagging back and forth?
100%.
When off-ramp after Rock Candy opened, and you just like,
you couldn't get hard licks
there
at Rock Candy. So you go to the off-ramp.
Did it ever change?
I don't know. No, I don't think Rock Candy ever did get it.
I thought they were beer only.
That's so why I would go back
and
forth.
You would ping pong back and forth, and it was totally, it was great times.
Yeah.
It was great times.
And now, a lot of times, I won't even go to a place if it doesn't have a hard liquor. It's like, I'm like, Rock Candy, sorry, you're out of the game.
Well, wasn't that called a tavern? Like a tavern doesn't have, I don't know.
No, yeah, you would, because we would find ourselves at the Comet, and that was beer only, again, beer only.
Was it?
Pretty sure.
I almost never
went
to the Comet.
Oh, God, we'd go there and get drunk. Come on.
I almost never went there.
Oh,
see, well, there you go. He proves his point.
I didn't live that far away. There was a time when I didn't live that far away, so he'd hit the Comet quite a bit.
So Duran Duran.
Oh my
gosh. You did Duran Duran?
Can you believe this?
Fucking Duran Duran.
This was insane, first off.
You did Duran Duran?
I can't even effing believe this because I am standing in, I'm at Capitol Records in LA, and so I'm hanging out with this guy, Larry, and he's looking through my portfolio and he's flipping these pages and he's like, you shot Nirvana? And he flips these pages and he's like, you shot Soundgarden? And he's flipping these pages and then he closes the book. And then I'm standing there, he's like, you're going to shoot Duran Duran.
Oh, in
like, I mean, I'm telling you, it took like literally 30 seconds for this guy.
Your timing.
Unbelievable.
Your timing was.
Impeccable?
Your timing's perfect. Because the guy's going through her portfolio, and she's doing the relevant bands before they're relevant.
There you go.
That's why he's like, I'm trying to bring Duran Duran into the. It was,
because it was their comeback album, Ordinary World, you know? So
right.
It was like no one had seen Duran Duran forever. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to take pictures of the most over-photographed band in the world.
In the world.
How do I possibly take a picture no one's ever seen before? I was just like, oh my God, I just was like out of my mind. So then the next thing you know, I fly down to LA and I'm getting ready to do this, my photo shoot. And everybody, like I go to rent equipment and everybody's like, you're shooting Duran Duran. I'm like, that's it. I'm not talking to anybody anymore because you guys are getting me all nervous, you know?
Well, it's Simon LeBond. So I mean, you know, it's like.
Well, my first thought is like, okay, so, and I figured it out. My order would be John, Simon, and then Nick. So I was going to ask you, which one did you want to have sex with most? That's my
John
order.
Taylor.
My order was John.
John Taylor. Stop. It was John Taylor.
John. Yeah, but
which was weird because he was the bass player.
Oh, John.
And so the other guys are like, what's going on around here? Why is the bass player getting all the ass? And he's just like, duh. Okay,
so you guys know you never should sleep with your clients. Okay,
you should not
sleep with your clients. So that was a no.
I guess that means go ahead.
Yeah. So then I get to the shoot, and then you know Simon's like, Karen, who have you been photographing? And I say Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, and they go, who? And this is not, and this is early. And I said, you know what? You have not heard of them, but you will.
That's amazing.
And they said, oh, okay. And then next thing you know, we're shooting and we're out in the service elevator. And then Simon's looking around. And he's like, Karen, we have never shot in an elevator. I go, oh, I know.
Because you've been through their whole catalog going, yeah. Where haven't they been?
Yeah, and I thought, you know what? It's grunge, right? And we're all shooting in elevators. Right, and I'm like, dude, you guys got to get in that service elevator. And that ended up being their promo picture. They picked that as their promo picture.
Perfect. Right.
And then when they came on tour, they came through town and they said, they're playing the Key Arena. And then so Simon goes, everybody, Karen's here. Karen's here. Our friend Karen's here. And then
he was name dropping. That's so cool.
Oh my God.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And he holds up the photo and he goes, Karen, I want you to know that this is our favorite photo we've ever taken.
Oh, that's so awesome.
I'm like, you're just saying that. And he goes, no, really?
Was it like a freight elevator?
Yeah, it was
that
a
you
total
did this
freight.
Photo? Yeah. I just because I have visions of them like all over all those years, all these grand sets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you're like, okay, boys, get in there.
It's the '90s now, baby.
Click.
It's the '90s now.
Right. It's, I know, it's, I love it.
The Alice in Chains.
Like the Alice in Chains one.
Exactly. The Alice in Chains would get it.
Yeah.
They would be right.
That's the one. Right. Like that was their main. The Alice in Chains one was that.
It
one
went
you
viral.
Took.
Yeah. My lawyer said, stop chasing that. It's over. It's like, it's so gone.
Yeah. I remember. So I was in high school and my girlfriend's dad wanted somebody to go to his daughter's, you know, show in Seattle. So I take my girlfriend to Duran Duran for her parents as, you know, as a favor my girlfriend's 86
or 85. It was 85.
Wow.
So I take my girlfriend to Duran Duran as a favor to her parents. And
you
know,
I'm
in my Metallica Ride the Lightning t-shirt that's probably, you know, disintegrating at that point. Uh-huh. And I'm standing there and I'm metal and I'm rock and I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to tell anybody these guys are pretty cool. I was just like, whoa. I mean, they were good players, man.
They were
super. They are good. They're still good players.
Their songs, so good.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Remember the sumo wrestling video with the really super hot?
No.
You girls on film? The girls on
that
film
was sumo?
Video. Yeah, there was these bizarre sumo wrestlers in it, but there were also these like super like.
Keep it together.
Yeah, you know.
Keep it together.
That was good.
I was a junior that
Dan,
year.
Edit that shit out.
I was a junior that year. And
were you a junior? I was probably a senior.
This kid who was sitting behind me, who was a sophomore, he went to that show. He was gone 2 days in a row. I'm like, where have you been? He's like, well, yesterday I went to ZZ Top Eliminator. And the night before that, I went to Duran Duran. I'm like, God, Dave Preston. I thought about
like
that.
Like two nights in a row?
And he was
that's
like.
That's big for the time, man. Are you kidding me?
He was 10th grade. And he wasn't like a stoner. And he was like, no, I'm just way cooler than you. Okay. Yes, you are.
I loved his dynamics from ZZ Top to Duran Duran. I mean, that's, you know.
He liked the hits.
He did. He liked the hits.
That's crazy. Yeah. And so is that how you got the Neurotic Outsiders gig?
Yeah, exactly. And then John Taylor calls me. This is bizarre. So I'm at my studio, and I just shot The Presidents. And so Dave Dieterer comes in, I don't know, like 3 days after I shot The Presidents, and hanging out at my studio. And my phone rings, you know, because now we all have desk phones. And I'm like, hello? And then on the other line, it's John Taylor. He's like, hello, Karen? This is John Taylor. I'm in town, and I was wanting to know if you want to go to lunch today. And I go, wow, lunch today? And I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. And then so Dave Dieter is going, John Taylor's on the phone. I'm like, okay. And he's like, let me talk to him. Let me talk to him. I'm like,
no.
Okay, this is weird. Okay, John A. Dave Dieter wants to talk to you.
Does John Taylor go who?
I don't know. I think he knew who the presidents were.
I love Peaches. Oh. I love that track, Peaches.
And so they started talking.
Going to the country.
And then hands me back the phone, and then I'm like, okay. And then so John Taylor and I go out to lunch, and then like maybe like 6 months later, they come back for the Neurotic Boy Outsiders. And then I did that photo shoot too.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It is. It's outstanding. It is amazing. That's totally killer.
I would, Duff would talk about that, and they'd be like in Europe, and they'd be playing pretty big places, and the crowd in front of the stages, it would be, you know, Duff over here, and it'd be all dudes all the way through till you get to the singer, Steve, and then right when the bass side started, it'd be just all girls. And like there was like this total like oil and water. And they're like, damn it. And so did you hang out with those guys when you shot them?
Yeah, I did. And took pictures and, you know, went on their tour bus. And yeah, it was super fun. And I knew Steve from L.A. Yeah, when I lived in Los Angeles.
You'd met him before?
Yeah, several times.
The greatest guy in the world.
Isn't he? Yeah. He's so Steve? Nice.
Steve Jones.
Steve Jones.
Steve Jones? Steve Jones?
The singer for Neurotic Outsider, and then
drummer for the Cult. Was he drummer?
Oh no, you're talking about that's Sorum.
Oh, Sorum. Oh no,
Matt,
yeah, yeah.
Sorum.
No, I knew Steve from L.A. and Matt from L.A.
Steve
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was the guitar player in the Sex Pistols.
Yes, that's
right. I was gonna say Steve Jones from like the Sex Pistols.
Mm-hmm. We used to go motorbike riding.
Did you?
You want to go for a ride on my motorbike?
I had the pleasure of driving Iggy Pop around for the day once. That was fun. That's fun.
Name
That's
rubber.
As close as I can. Well, you know, she said
rubber.
Steve Jones, so I'm like,
right.
Fine.
We're talking about his band.
Yeah, I like
it. Right.
Him.
God, Steve.
Dave.
Judge Jeff. Where were we? Yeah. On Matt Sorum, so you got to hang out with Matt. Mm-hmm. So you knew Matt. Did you meet? You met Matt when you were in Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was he in the Cult?
Mm-hmm.
Then?
Yeah. Or they weren't really doing anything. Because I was there
except
100%. Yes.
I saw a picture you took that was most of Outsiders and Steven Tyler and Billy. Was it not you? Was that not yours?
That wasn't mine.
Okay.
No.
That's embarrassing.
Don't worry about it.
Kind of
I can't believe
photo.
You just did
it.
That.
It was sort of a shitty photo. So
oh, well, now it's a shitty
now
photo.
Now I feel better.
Yeah, okay, I see.
No, it was, it was a moment, but it wasn't a good photo. There you go. It was a good moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just the other day, somebody, like, you know, I have all these people on, you know, Instagram or whatever. And so somebody says, oh, that's Karen's photo. And so I go and I look at this. It's some fan photos of, you know, somebody only posts pictures of Chris Cornell. And there is this photo of Chris Cornell that I don't even have it anymore. So I'm like, how the hell did that person get this? And it is the most, I got to show it to you, it's the most gorgeous photo of Chris Cornell. And so now I'm going to reach out to that girl and say, hey, can I have that photo?
Can I get a copy?
Because we'd, like back in the day, you'd have to send the photo, the slides to the magazines. And so when you send the slides, you don't get them back.
Right.
And then all these magazines went out of business. So then you're like, oh my gosh. And they tried to send them back, but I didn't get them all. So I think this girl might have worked at the magazine.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
So slides are important.
Well, they're original. Like, there's only one. Like, negatives, you can make a print from the negative. But back in the day, they didn't even want you to copy the slide. They're like, we need the original.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Is
so I lost
could you,
Nirvana's
could you
and everything.
Copy any of that stuff before you did send it to
no,
the magazine?
No, because they just didn't want it. And then back in the time, you're not even thinking you're not going to get it back. You're not thinking, oh, someday there's going to be the demise of, you know, Rip Magazine and Metal Hammer and Metal Edge and Metal whoever, you know. And then you're like, hello, can you send me my pictures back? And those people are losing their jobs and they're out of their mind and then never got the pictures. Yeah.
So how does a slide is not, I don't understand the process.
Oh, so like when you take, like in your camera, you either load slide film or negative film. So a slide's a positive.
Okay.
And so they're, you know, you've seen them, they're little squares.
I know what they are, I just didn't understand what, those are basically a negative version of a.
It's a positive version.
Yeah, or a positive version of a
negative. Correct. That's why you don't understand it. That's a tricky.
So some
I was
film,
really bad at math, so I'm falling behind in the conversation.
Well, welcome to the arts.
Sorry.
So it's some films produce negatives and some films pro- produce positives?
Correct.
Oh my God, that gives me a headache.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
It's like a brain freeze. Karen, you did this book, The Flannel Years.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Aw, thank you.
How did that come about?
Well, you know, people have been asking me for years to do the book, and so I just got at it. You know, I self-published it, and it took, you know, a couple months, and it's just my story. It's that, you know, I often like to say that the grunge movement was like 200 to 300 people, and so those 300 people, the depth of talent that was in those 300 people is really what's...
Dense.
What made the difference. I mean, we're talking the Chris Cornells, the Eddie Vedders, the Kurt Cobains, the Dave Grohls. And so the whole movement was that in Seattle, you could not go see live music. And so what we did, because bands did not want to drive up from L.A., and clearly not from New York. So then a lot of bands wouldn't come here and tour in the 90s. So we started our own music scene. And so then one week you'd have Alice in Chains playing at the Central. And then the next, and I'm standing next to Soundgarden. Then the next week you're going to have you're going to have Soundgarden on stage, and I'm standing next to Alice in Chains, because if you see my band, so then all those clubs said, well, maybe we can have a live music scene. And then so we just were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so we would just rock out, and just, we were having the time of our lives, and more people started coming because we had live music and we knew other people liked live music. And I guess for us, when everybody always asked that question, did you know grunge was going to be so amazing? And you know, we all never called it grunge, because we just
call
it grunge.
No one did. No one really does. Not the local. And
no.
Not to interrupt, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
I have to also say, when I was in my early 20s, and when we were doing this, and when we were waking up every day or not waking up every day, you know, depending on the circumstances, I had no idea that we were in the middle of it.
Mm.
I mean, I understand. I get it.
Yeah.
The bands, you know, all the bands, just this endless list of bands, and they were going, and they were making it, and they were... I didn't understand that I really did not understand I was in the middle of it.
Yeah, but what I will say is what we did, I think what you did understand, though, is you love the music.
Oh, absolutely.
We love the music. I just had no idea the whole world would love this music.
When you could go to a cool show 5, maybe 6 days a week.
Yes.
Or, you know, what was it? When did we, Sunday, Mondays, were those our slow days? And then like Tuesday through... You know what I mean? I didn't take it for granted. I just didn't understand. I didn't realize I was seeing that many cool bands,
class stuff.
Yeah. I didn't realize how much in, you know.
It seemed like a weekend thing. Like
Thursday through Saturday type, you know, okay.
Because I remember moving to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first time I was like, there's a Tuesday night thing. Like, there were open mics up here, but mostly it seemed like weekends. But, like, every weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Well, and it
endless
would be
shows.
Like, what's so crazy? It would be like just driving down the street to go see a local band. Like, maybe you're just going to drive down and, you know, there's Thunder Pussy playing. And then, but you're just driving down, and that's your local band. I mean, yeah. Can you imagine that our local bands were Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, yep. Mother Love Bone, Alice in Chains, yep. Screaming yep. Trees, Skin Yard. I mean, yeah. My Sister's Machine. I mean, everybody. And
sometimes
you're just like,
on the same
wow.
night.
Yeah.
All the time on the same night.
Yeah, right.
All
you
the
just
time.
All these bands, all always booking, always yeah. jamming. So yeah, I got it, but I didn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as we were going, as we were doing it, as we were having fun, as we were celebrating it, if
yes.
you will, I didn't understand the rocket that we were on, you know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Well, and you have to understand, like, even in the 90s, it's like we still had Sir Mix-a-Lot was charting. And then we had Queensryche winning a Grammy for Silent Lucidity, you know. Yeah. And then we have the Presidents coming out, you know, and they're just rocking their own thing. And it's like all this music is coming out of Seattle at the exact same time. I mean, that's the other thing about Seattle, why it was so alive, is that, you know, there was so much other kinds of music coming out of Seattle in the 90s, and so that was just really electric as well, you know.
Yeah.
I got big butts and I cannot lie.
So killer.
Yeah. Mix-a-Lot is so cool.
Oh, he's so cool.
He's so cool.
Yeah. And the Presidents, how the hell, you know, it's like...
7 million albums sold on that first one. And you know what? They were signed to Pop Llama. And so
7 million.
Yes.
Okay.
Hear that. And then and we got Candlebox. I mean, come on now. Yeah. And it's like, so the Presidents, man, they kept all their rights on that first Pop Llama album, and so they just banked.
So, and then here, let me just throw a quick, I'm going to throw you some bands out there that didn't make it, but might have been fun. Mm-hmm. Do you remember Daddy Long Legs?
Yes.
You do?
Yes. Running with Scissors.
They were. How do you do that? Remember that guy? Yes. And then I think some of them became War Babies.
Yeah, they did. And I did.
How do you do that?
Crazy.
How do you
do? Nice. I don't know.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Because you've been on the scene a million years. That's how you know it. That's how you do it. I love that you remembered that name. When you said Tramp Alley,
yes,
I was like, I have literally not thought about that band in like 15 plus. But when you said it, I completely. Yeah. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, so the War Babies, I ended up doing their photos as well. And at the Hard Rock Cafe here in Seattle, when you're going up the stairs to the lounge, I got a War Baby shot on the wall at the Hard Rock.
Nice.
So that's so cool.
Do you remember the giant metal man statue at the Rock Candy?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good, because I brought that up once and everybody was like, huh?
Huh?
I'm like, oh no, it was there.
I promise.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's so good. I mean, Seattle, I mean, none of us knew that they were going to change the world. And I mean, to quote Chris Cornell, he said, there hasn't been another rock movement since grunge. I mean, like a movement, you know, like the Beatles were a movement. And so who'd have known? I mean, who even knew that it was a movement? And then once all the bands kind of left Seattle, because they all went on tours and then world tours and then, you know, then world tours again and then so on. That brought a lot of change, you know, and then that's when we're like, wait, why can't we see them in, you know, at Rock Candy, or why can't we see them at the Central anymore? And we're like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean they're playing Wembley? You know, Wembley, right. You know, and you're just like, what?
So do you, we were talking a few weeks ago, or I'm not even blah, blah, I'm not sure when, but do you remember when the second wave came out? I was asking questions about the second wave.
Yes.
And at that point for me, I was so caught up and so busy with my job that I wasn't, it's almost like, you know, I got into this for all these magical bands that we're talking about and all this fun that we had, all these shows we went to. And then when the second wave got here, I was so busy working that I couldn't even really hear it or listen to it or even know their names, if you will.
Right.
So were you connected to that second wave at all?
You know, I wasn't. I was kind of like you. And the other thing is, come on, I mean, like, we kind of feel bad, you know, because grunge is a hard act to follow because there was so much good music and so much great content.
And they were all friends.
And it bloomed all these side bands too, you know, like the Super Deluxes, the Green Apple Quickstep, the Candlebox, you know, all this other stuff came out at the exact same time. So like, like we were talking earlier, but by nature, I just think we became music snobs because our local music was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good. And we just thought it was local music. We didn't really realize it was so good. And so when that second wave came, I mean, my story is I didn't sit down, you know, for like 10 years for the whole grunge movement. And that's what my book is. It's like, my book starts in the beginning and like, this is the first of many, but, my book is mostly pre-fame, before the bands were famous, and that's when we were all friends, and that's when we were all this familia. I call it my Seattle music familia.
Yeah.
And familia. Jeff, clearly you're my familia.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jeff, when he called me to do the show, I was like, oh my God, I love you, you know, and he's like, I love you. And it's like, we'll always love, and like, Chris, you know, Chris Novoselic wrote the foreword to my book, and I was like, dude, would you write my foreword? And he just types it out, ding, 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 ding. He's like, send it over.
I just want you guys to know that I'm in like with you guys.
Yeah. If people wanted to buy it, where could they buy that?
Yeah. So you can go to my website, KarenMasonBlair.com, and I just launched this new store called Grunge Mart. And so that you can find everything there. And then I have fine arts prints through the Morrison Hotel Gallery.
Awesome.
Standard.
Yeah. And we'll put all those links on the.
Dan, will you put all that stuff on our
Yeah,
I'll put it in the description.
Everybody, I'm just remembering, Dan's still with us.
Oh, Dan.
Just high five Dan for 10 seconds.
Dan,
Dan, our stuff doesn't work.
I've been taking notes the entire time.
What? Like, you know. What?
So
do people still take notes?
So it's funny because when Steve was talking about the second wave the last time, he was really talking about the third wave.
He was talking about
like Death Cab. That was like
Fleet Foxes.
I was just thinking about this thing, how you were like the music, it was so thick. It was like there was like the major leagues,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was like the first wave. And there was like the Triple A, which was like the Green Apple and those guys. And
correct.
Then there was like the minor leagues.
Yeah.
Which was like the color box bands.
Right.
And the Crocodile, you know, like.
And so I
kind of came up through that. You mm-hmm. know, like I played in Sledge and all the early, late 80s, but it was really fun to be.
I remember Sledge. Oh, that was
so
good.
So,
good band.
Free. Yeah. Like these bands who, like, we kind of came up with mm-hmm. were ruling the world.
Well, and all those bands need openers, right? So then they'd be like, oh, My Sister's Machine. Oh, yeah. Grunt Truck. Yeah. Oh, Sister Psychic. I mean, like, it just goes on.
Sister Psychic.
Wait until you see my second book.
I think I jammed with Andy.
I want to talk about Grunt Truck.
Oh, I love Grunt Truck.
The sweetest guys on the planet.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And so we were just doing this. So go back. So what was Ben's first band?
The Accused.
I took those pictures.
That was like, those guys, by the way, those guys were not worried about writing commercial friendly hits.
No.
That was just a hard rock band.
Matt Fox was not in The Accused.
No, he was in Bitter End. He was the lead singer, lead guitarist in Bitter End.
But did you know that Matt Vaughn from Easy Street Records managed Grunt Truck? That was his beginnings?
No.
Before he had his record store.
And his parents managed the Hungry Crocodiles.
And Queensryche. Yes, they did.
Matt Vaughn's parents?
Yes.
Matt Vaughn, and Easy Street.
The Crocodiles also rehearsed in that boiler room below Easy Streets in West Seattle.
Yes.
The Hungry Crocodiles rehearsed because Matt's parents were managing us. So we got like cheap jam space in West Seattle below Easy Street Records.
Now, were they a management company? How did that happen?
I think it was Kim and Diane.
Oh, was it Harris? I want to say.
I can't remember. To tell you the truth, I can't remember.
Ring the bell. We got to get
fact check. So here's
good call. Way to keep us honest, Karen.
We're on the radio. Pay attention, boys.
It's Karen's first day, and she actually remembers that we have a bell.
More than you have.
Thanks, Dan. You were supposed to, like, that's your job to remind me that I have a bell, because I am talent.
No, it's your
job to remind me that I have
the
bell. I can't see because my prop laptop is blocking the bell.
Karen, I have a question.
Okay, bring it.
This picture, Soundgarden, over here?
Yes.
Who is that? Who are the other two guys?
What do you mean that's Matt? What do you not know? It's the whole band.
That's Matt and that's
Matt
Ben?
Matt and Ben. Ben with his hat on backwards.
Okay.
I've just
never seen fluffy Matt Cameron hair.
I know, but look at Chris's is all fluffy sadly.
But you could see like they both just got perms or something.
Well, I don't know.
Or they just got out of the shower.
That is a question for them. You know what I mean? I'm the photographer.
No, I know.
If you show up with fluffy hair, I just gotta go with it.
You weren't going, hey, are you guys using Head and Shoulders?
That's the hair you want to go with, huh? No, it looks great on you, but no, fine, let's go.
It's so full.
Oh my God, remember grunge? Like, I would always say, you guys, don't wash your hair. Like, you cannot have clean hair in these grunge photos.
Right.
And you're like, oh,
I always miss that memo. My hair would always be like a triangle.
I always say, do not wash that hair. Yeah. I'm telling you, you're going to look better photographically without it.
Jesus.
Yeah. No, that was the first photo session Ben ever did with the band.
That one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that picture of Chris Cornell standing in the window.
Yeah.
Doing the Jesus Christ pose.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing the photo shoot, and next thing you know, Chris just gets up in the window. I don't even tell him to get in the window.
He's leaning.
Did you go to my studio? My studio in Pioneer Square?
I don't know if I was ever there.
I don't think you were.
I don't think I was. That was the Triangle, the Triangle restaurant building?
No, right across the street, yeah. It's right where Elysian Brewing is, right above that. It was a historical building. And anyway, so he stands in the window, and he does the Jesus Christ pose.
Dude.
And I only take three frames, one, two, three. And And I didn't even know they had a song called Jesus Christ Post. They were recording it at the time of my photo shoot. And then next thing you know.
It's a pretty good shot. What do you think?
I just released it. And Matt Vaughn said to me, Karen, you're holding out on me. I know you got great pictures. And I was like, okay, Matt, I will go through some of my photos and look with your eye. Like, what does Matt Vaughn want? So I'd start looking. And then I released this photo and it's one of my top sellers.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Karen, can you
wearing pull out the Pearl Jam shirt, of course.
Yeah. Karen, can you pull out that picture on me, please?
Before, with the hair and the red truck.
Oh, that's a good shot.
Turns out really good on radio.
So do you have what are your favorites? What are your favorite shots you do?
What's your
top 10? Oh, one of my favorite people in the world, of course, is Kurt Cobain. I mean, that guy had the biggest heart and he had a total sense of humor. And I just saw a interview with him and he said, all these photographers, we go and we take pictures and we pout for a couple frames and all the media wants to do is put our pouting pictures out there. And then I have this photo of Kurt smiling or smirking, right?
Yeah.
And so I had taken these pictures at the Paramount and I had printed them and framed them and I gave them to Chris. And I said, Chris, here's one for you and can you give this to Kurt? And he goes, oh yeah. So 6 months later, I get a call from DGC and they said, Karen, we have this picture of Kurt in a Santa hat. And I said, how did you get that? And they said, well, Kurt mailed it to us. I go, what? And they said, yeah, Kurt said it's his favorite photo. And I was like, wow. And they said, we want to put it on In Utero. And I said, done. And so we, signed the contract, made some money. And then it comes out. And then I hadn't seen Kurt for like a year since that photo. And so Kurt is at the Butthole Surfer show at the Key Arena and he's backstage. And so I'm taking these pictures because he's hanging out with the band. And I'm taking these pictures of him with the Butthole Surfers. And I go, Kurt, can you smile? And he goes, you always say that. I go, yeah. And you always like my photos. And he knew that I knew. He knew that I knew that they had said it was his favorite photo. And that's why the cover of my book is him smirking like, I love you. You're right.
Is that that picture?
That's that picture.
Yeah,
that moment when Kurt knew. Yeah.
And did you took all those live shots from the Paramount Halloween show.
Yeah. And I just got the cover of the LP that came out. Can you believe that? I got a vinyl cover.
I was at that show.
Oh, my! Was that amazing?
Well, I was a patron. I had to buy a ticket. Yeah, no. All joking aside, I believe they use that show for one of their videos too.
Yeah.
So
the Lithium video.
Yeah.
Well, they released a DVD.
The German guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got the cover of the album, and it's like I always say, don't stop dreaming because. I always wanted a cover of Nirvana, but I never got one. And then they're not even a band. And literally 20 years later, I get the cover of Nirvana. Like, this is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
And who's putting that record out? It was Universal. Yeah.
Good for you.
It was
out at record store day last year. High five.
Oh,
good for you. That's just COVID high five. Good for you.
And because they had lighting, like you said, they did the video. So then Dave Grohl is all lit up.
Right,
so
right,
you
right,
never
right,
get the drummer. Right, Jeff knows. Right. You can never get the drummer. And I got the whole band.
That's awesome.
Jeff
that's
knows.
So awesome.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
There are drummers in bands?
Right?
Exactly.
No, there's just a machine back there.
Oh, I thought it was like a, yeah, I thought I didn't, yeah, okay.
So that show, they were going to release tickets the day of, and that dirty hippie Jeff Krause, who would always come downstairs while we were jamming.
Right.
He's like, okay.
Suck up our jams with his saxophone.
Was this the guy who would like poke his head through the drywall?
Yeah.
No, different guy.
That was a different guy.
Not Lee Boots.
Almost as irritating as that, Dan. Thank you for remembering that.
More
irritating.
Because he was there all the time. He lived there, remember?
And I'd be jamming with Jeff, and I'm like, who's this Kenny G motherfucker?
He was like this hippie guitar player who lived there. With me, but he was like, look, you go wait in line, I'll pay for the tickets.
Wow.
And so I went down there in the morning and sat there with like the 50 people and we all bonded and we're like, I wonder how many they're gonna be, and then we got them.
Wow.
And then Jeff also gave me acid for this show, and so we took a bunch of acid and watched the show.
Whoa.
That was religious. That was like one of the most walked out of there just mind blown.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember?
True that.
Your shots are like, that's those are the visuals I have in my brain are your shots.
Yeah, and I actually got to cover the DVD that came out like, you know, I don't remember what year it came out, and they world premiered it at the MoPop. And so we go to the show. Oh, so now they're going to world premiere the video. So I got the cover of the video, which is how I got the cover of the album, because actually I'd never heard about this before, but they took the recording from the video and made it an album. Isn't that crazy?
They took the recording.
First,
they did the video
and made it an album.
Okay,
so that's cool, right? Yeah. So we're at the MoPop watching the world premiere of the video, and I'm in the video.
Oh,
like 10 times. Like, there I am. You could see me in the front row. And the great thing is they only let what they normally do not let photographers shoot. And they made an exception to let me shoot during the video.
You're the only one.
And that's why I got the cover. I was the only one. And this guy calls me and he goes, do you have
rock star quality?
This guy calls me on the phone. He goes, do you have blonde hair? I'm like, yeah. He goes, did you shoot Nirvana?
This is kind of weird.
93. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, did you la la la? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, do you still have those photos? I go, yeah. He goes, yes, can you mail them to me? Yes.
Yes, I can.
For a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm just going to need your credit card number. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. So that was cool because they saw me in the video and they go, find that girl. We want her photos.
God damn. That's insane.
It is insane.
One of the most important shows they ever played, and you're the only one to shoot it.
Right. And then I ended up being the only photographer at the Pearl Jam's first concert.
I've never been the only photographer.
Was their first concert at Rock Candy?
Off Ramp.
It was the Off Ramp.
So
okay.
And how did you know that was happening? Like who?
Well, Jeff called me, you know, Jeff Ament. He's like, Karen, I got this new band. We're going to play in 3 days at the Off Ramp. Can you come on down? I'm like, yeah. So we go there and everyone's still really sad about Andrew Wood. You know, like you could just feel, oh, we miss Andy. And all you can think of is, you know, like, oh my God, oh, we love you guys. I hope your new singer doesn't suck. Because that'd be hard to say. Right. And can you imagine replacing Andrew Wood?
In Seattle. Like, they should have gone somewhere else. That would have been friendly to Eddie. You know, why don't we go to like Iowa?
True that. Yeah. Right. And so there's only like, there's not very many people there, right? Because they kind of just got added to the show. And then so you're standing there and you're just like, what? The minute you hear Eddie sing.
I love that you said that.
You're like, oh my gosh.
There wasn't that many people there. They got added to the show.
They did.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Did you go? Were you there?
No. I was not there.
I didn't see them until the drop in the park.
Who went to...
Oh, I was there too.
I went to a very special Nirvana show at the Off Ramp.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you guys were there.
Jeff might have been there. I wasn't.
Maybe you were there. Nirvana did, I believe they did a weekend, one night Gorilla opened.
Wow.
And one night Mudhoney opened.
Wow.
And I can't remember what night, to tell you the truth, but they finished. The club put all the alcohol away. They let everyone back in, and Nirvana played till like 4 a.m.
Wow.
At the Off Ramp. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And I have no way of documenting it, like night or month or blah, blah, blah.
But Regan was saying he remembers that. A thing happened. Yeah.
Okay. Did
you guys talk about it?
We probably did. I have memory issues.
Wow. So,
you know, I have memory issues.
I have like big black spots in my memory. It's cool.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. As you were.
You guys, it is years ago. I mean, trying to bring up my memories from 30 years ago is a bit rough sometimes. Yeah. Tough.
Well, you have pictures, Karen.
Oh, I got pictures. Thank God I took pictures.
Seriously, right? God, we should have taken more pictures, Steve.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I didn't have a phone.
Or a camera.
Yeah, what a good time. I mean, seriously, time of our lives. I mean, the 90s, I mean, if ask anybody, like, we weren't depressed, you know, like, we were having so much fun, and we were just getting our angst and our anger and our whatever. We're banging our heads and shaking our asses and just, yeah.
No one knew.
Having so much fun.
We knew, but we didn't know. So let's do this really fast.
You keep saying that.
Yeah.
I've only said that like six times. Let's do this. What's 2020's leaving us? Thank God.
Thank God.
We're sniffing 2021. We're almost 2021. What's Karen's current project? What's What's on your horizon?
Good one, Steve.
Yeah.
Good one. Look at this guy.
Yeah, we don't want to get sucked into the 90s every time, blah, blah, the 90s. What are you doing today, right now? What's next? Besides our kick-ass podcast, Seattle Today.
Woo-hoo.
Seattle Today.
That was forced on me.
That one's taken. Go ahead.
I love it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's just selling my book. You know, I've sold 900 copies, and then I launched my online store, Grunge Mart, and I did Aaron Jones. You guys heard of him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
All those photos are mine, and he is charting. He's on number 5 on Billboard, and, you know, we're giving him the Seattle love, the Seattle treatment. You know, he's friends with Dove and McCready and everybody. And the guy just rocks. I mean, the guy is so good at guitar playing and
super
singing.
Super energy out of that guy.
I love him.
Sure.
He's one of my really great friends. And so I just did his stuff, and then I got some... I did some photos here at the Moore that are hanging in the gallery.
Yeah.
Downstairs on your way to the bar.
Outstanding.
It's Jack Daniels photos. Sponsored
it. Yeah, tell us about that project.
So all those photos were taken here at the Moore, and we got Chris Cornell, we got Kurt Cobain, we got Sir Mix-a-Lot. We have Alien Crime Syndicate.
Jeff Rose.
It's weird because...
Mr. President to you.
So I was born in Washington in 1968, and I grew up on the scene. Alien Crime Syndicate? Never heard of them.
Oh my God.
It's one of my favorite bands, Steve.
Wow. Well,
they've done so many albums. Are you for real? Oh my God.
No, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, good.
Wow. But luckily, Dan is half my age, he remembers or something.
Oh, yeah.
It was forceful.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Sorry, we're going to redo that where I don't sound so.
Sorry, Nabil.
Yeah, sorry, Nabil.
I don't know the other guy. I only know Rouse. I don't know the other guy.
Do you have any tips for upcoming photographers, especially folks that are getting into taking pictures of music and stuff like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, music photography has totally changed because, like, they want you to sign these contracts. And, you know, so I think you should just start with the local music, befriend the band, like, which is what I did, and then just really hope that, you know, you can hang on with them as they go through, if they get signed. Like, Aaron just got signed, and so I'm hanging on. I'm going with him. And so, you know, it's very different right now. And I mean, the greatest thing now for live music, though, is there's so much great lighting. Like, it was very hard for me to get great photos back in the 90s. I was saying to the off-ramp, you guys, you have to get lighting in here so I can take pictures of these bands. Because sometimes I wouldn't even shoot because there'd be, like, no light. Like, you could not shoot. So, just take some great photos, you know, follow your heart, follow your music that you love. And even if you don't make any money or you don't get paid or you whatever happens, at least you're having the time of your life following your passion, you know. And that was for me too. Like, I had no idea it was going to turn out like this. And people were like, oh, did you make a lot of money? It's like, no, not then, but maybe now, you know, because now it's called collection.
Content.
And history. But I didn't know it at the time.
And then just to sum up what you're talking about, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm. It's such a long way.
I worked my ass off.
I mean, I did not sit down for the 90s at all. And really, like I was saying earlier, it's like my career was self-built, you know. And then, of course, my people, I mean, my clients, you know, love me and they kept coming back. I mean, I shot Jeff like 3 or 4 times and, you know, I did all the Grunge Trek
stuff. He still
owes
you money, probably.
Sadly, probably, yes.
Jeff,
it's about time to wrap this up,
isn't it? Can you pay, Jeff, can you PayPal her? Karen, thank you.
Do you take payment in Tito's?
Oh my gosh, I love you guys. But yeah, I mean, so starving artists is not a joke. It's a reality, sadly. But if you're doing what you love, then subsidize it in some other way until you can make your money. That's what I would say to your people.
So I have another question along those lines. Gear. The photographer that's just starting out right now, should they go off to Glazer's Camera or B&H and buy that Sony A7S or what have you? What should they start out with?
Huh?
Oh my gosh. Okay, you know what? Here, I'm going to be totally unconventional right now because I'm going to tell you, I have changed my ways. So I go up to the Showbox. And I'm going to, who was it? Royal Blood. Love them. So I go up to the Showbox. I got my, you know, big ass camera. And then I'm with this other guy and he's got this little pocket camera, right? you know what? They let that guy in, but they wouldn't let me in. And I was like, that is bullshit. So I had to put my camera back in the car. I had to shoot on my iPhone. The next day I drove to Portland because I said, F that. And so I got a hold of him. So then I got my camera in at Portland. But the point to the story is maybe you want to be a little more undercover, because then you can stand in the front row, or at least in the pit, and get good shots. Whereas anyone that brings in a big camera has to get all, you have to call the band, you got to call the management, you got to call the record company, you got to call blah, blah, right. And then the promoter, and then the
and
venue.
They don't, and none of those and people call each other.
No, and then they'll all say no, any effing way. So what you do is you just go, oh, this little camera, click, click, click. And then they're like, thank you. You're our number one fan that took the best photo ever. And you're like, right. Wink, wink.
Yes, I am.
I'm a photographer that's your number one fan. And that's probably how you're going to make the difference. Because there's no money in there right now. There's none, sadly. Yeah. And then all these bands tour with a photographer, right, that do all their socials. So, I mean, it's yon yon boy.
So has technology made it easier? I mean, you know,
to be a good photographer. Like
when we were kids or when we were young adults, there was no
God, Steve.
There was no, well, you know, there wasn't, we didn't all have, the only one who had a cell phone was me because I had a job. The rest of you guys didn't have cell phones.
You didn't have
and
a
my
cell phone.
Cell phone didn't have a, couldn't take pictures.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Couldn't take pictures. So like, so is that working against you now? The fact that anybody with a really nice phone can maybe just get a money shot.
Yeah. Well,
you
know, I love a money shot. Like, I mean, like if you went on this great hike and that sun is setting and you're just like, oh my God, that's the best sunset I've ever seen. And you go click. How can I compete to that? I can't get up on that mountain. I can't compete with that. I'm like, thank you for taking a money shot. I mean, if you get a money shot, God bless you. But to be a professional, you got to get the money shot every freaking time. Yeah. And that is a developed skill. So
yeah, absolutely.
I love money shots. They're just not
the eye.
The difference is the, you know, we can take a great picture, but who has a collection? There you go.
Right.
There you go.
And I was going to say that what you said about it's a long way to the top. Mm-hmm. I would edit that. I would say it's a long way to base camp.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long way to midway up the mountain.
Okay.
It's almost impossible to get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's lottery winning.
Right, right.
We grew up in a city full of lottery winners.
Oh.
Like, it's unheard of. You were saying about the scene and like
the depth of talent.
Well, and how like there will never be another one because we were the last one to happen before the internet.
A proper movement.
Before cell phones.
A proper movement, if you will,
There won't be another one. Never. Because there will never be a group of bands unheard of discovered at the same time in one place without everybody. When they're 15, they're getting there. They're being filmed by their friends and it's on YouTube before if they have any inkling of talent.
Right.
It's found out immediately. You know?
Because this came out of our city. This came out of Seattle. You know what I mean? And like, think of our heritage. I mean, we had Jimi Hendrix. I mean, we had Quincy Jones. I mean, there's a lot of heritage
Heart.
In
Great
Seattle.
Point.
Heart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So,
Great point.
Like you're saying, but the stage to jump on to record an album has gotten very short. So anyone can jump on this stage and make music. And so that's why, like, I agree totally what you're saying, that the movement, that all this came out of a region, that all this, the music of our city was speaking, even through Mix-a-Lot and the Presidents and all that, came through this city. And yeah, there's not going to be another one like that because it's gotten so flattened. It's so much flatter. And then you're gonna get a good song over here and a good band over here and a good band. But it's not gonna be like I was saying, like we were Seattle built. We are Seattle strong. We are Seattle familia, music familia. Like even to this day, if I go to a concert and I see someone, one of these 300 people from the grunge movement, I mean, it's just like instant. I love you. I love you. Like we all remember. Jeff Ament remembers. What the fuck, Karen? How are you? You know what I mean? Like he's so happy to see me because we all started at the exact same point.
Yeah.
And so that is solid. And so when people go, oh, it's so changed. It's like, yeah, it's changed, but it's changed in a different way. And there's still pockets and there's still love. And like A-Ron Jones is a perfect example of us loving A-Ron, you know, say, dude, you're the next. Go get it, man. It's waiting for you, you know? And if we can launch him, then that's, you know, hallelujah. Yeah.
He's a worker though too.
Oh, he's our soul.
But he'll, and when I say that, like, you know, if he shows up and if he's having a good run and things are going well and he shows up and there's 10 people, he's still going to give you a blow up show, and that but that's why you know, it's just like, you know, because he's a worker. He's right. A worker. Yeah, he gets it.
He's our people. Yeah. So, yeah. Well done, Seattle, man. I mean, KISW is celebrating their 50th anniversary this year.
Crazy.
And it's like most rock stations are not 50, you know. And so I did a pre-recorded interview with them. It comes out in February. And I just said, once again, you know, your station was Seattle built, you know, and grunge saved us all.
Yeah.
Grunge saved us all. Everyone sitting at this freaking table was saved by grunge.
Grunge totally saved us all, because I remember, come on now. I remember as a kid frustrated that KISW would play Pat Benatar. So
you didn't like Pat Benatar?
Yeah, I totally. Shadows
of the Night. Well, everybody later in their career got a little soft. But Heartbreaker, man.
Heartbreaker. Dude. Dreammaker.
Don't fuck with. What's her husband's name? This is the part. This is the part where we edit out.
No, I just.
Fuck, my singing skills. We're not gonna edit out my singing skills.
Okay.
That guy.
Yeah. Thank you.
What's
ladies and gentlemen, we replaced Jeff with Karen. Our lineup now?
What's Pat Benatar's husband's name?
I can't remember.
Songwriter.
Drummer.
No, guitar player.
Neil Delgado.
Neil Delgado.
Neil Giraldo.
Yeah. Right.
Oh.
Guitarist?
Do not fuck with Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're running with the shadows of the night.
See?
Tessa won't like that.
That's a hit. That's one of her biggest hits.
So the Pat Benatar show I did at Tulalip Casino was the best show I saw that year.
Wow.
Dude, they hits.
Liar, pants on fire.
Did you know every song they played?
Even though you're only 18.
Oh, okay.
Dan's only 18.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So he doesn't.
She probably owns your bank, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. her money makes money.
Talking about
is what you're talking
I'm
about.
Sad to tell you, but right? It's probably
no, it's okay. It's
Pat
okay.
Benatar?
Yeah.
She's only been around since 1982,
Neil writes all the songs. That's why
she wrote the words, right?
I think he wrote everything. When they tour, it's Pat and Neil.
She's on the marquee. She's fiercely loyal.
I think they're married.
Ding.
Let's
hope they are.
Where were we, though, before he started singing?
Yeah, Pat Benatar. We were just talking about.
That's so hard.
KISW is the last note.
KISW. We love them. Yeah.
Man. But Damon.
Oh, I love Damon.
Yeah. Like, I wish he was still on the radio.
I did a shout out to him. Oh, I know. It's so sad. Like, it was like the Mohicans. Like, you know, as surely as the magazines died, then radio took a dive. Right. And then you're like, you know, so that wasn't good. Yeah, I know. I love KSW.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Serious.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. I've done tons of photos for them. Yeah. Over the years, you know.
The last time we were, New American Shame did a live thing there. And I had my friend, this was before, I think I had a cell phone, but it was digital. It wasn't like a smartphone. And I had them drop me off at the old location.
Yeah.
And then my buddy drove away and I'm like, knock, 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 knock. It's not there. I'm like, oh shit, they moved to over. I ran.
Oh my God.
From the old location to where KNDD was. I'm here. Fuck you guys. Who brought the beer? I was like, oh, Jesus, I couldn't even catch a taxi.
Oh, that's awesome.
Luckily, Seattle is small enough you can run across town.
That's what I do love about Seattle.
Yeah, but that was after they'd been purchased, so, you know, whatever. But now they're great. Now they're still great.
Oh, right. And it's like...
Steve, the producer? Come on.
Oh, don't you love him?
Ryan?
Like, I was just on his show, morning show. And so...
I don't have a different show. This is my only show.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That's
okay.
Good one, dude.
We like your show.
Oh, I thought you were talking about... I just
can you sing some more?
I'm running with the shadows of the night. Baby, take my hand, be all right.
Thank you. I think periodically we should just break into that.
You do. I have other favorites from her, but maybe you can sing something else.
All right, okay.
Could you not ever sing that song again, you guys? Awesome.
All right, no, that's just my favorite one. I'll sing a different one next time.
Okay. Or just don't.
You just asked me to.
I did. I was being sarcastic. Karen, well, what else?
I don't know. I'm just super happy that you guys asked me about your show. And like, I like that you want to discover or reveal, you know, what happened during the time from, you know, the point of view of firsthand person. I mean, I appreciate that. That stories, there's a lot of people that have stories to be told out of that 300 people. And even beyond that 300, there's like 200 peripheral people that would come and help and not stay there the whole time. And so there's a lot of great stories that have not been told. And I mean, I tried to tackle some of that in my book, and it was just unsurmountable being my, you know, I self-published my book. But I love when I go to my, you know, like when I have my shows or people come out to my book signings and they come out and they tell me these crazy ass stories. And I'm like, wow, it just, you know, it just reminds me and helps my memory remember how great it was. And there's a lot of good content that has not been told. And I just want to say thank you guys for being on this adventure to try to reveal to everybody else what was going on. And you're going to help our memories remember what was going on, because truthfully, you guys all know. Best time of your life. I mean, best freaking time of my life ever. 90s, hands down.
I describe it as a magical time.
Oh,
and I remember listening. I remember like we listened to everything before we release it. And I was like listening to an episode and I was like, magical. And I was saying magical. And I was like, wow, that sounds kind of stupid maybe. And I'm like, you know what? I'm wrong.
It sounded stupid when you said it.
It sounded stupid when I said it, but it's what's the truth is it was.
Dude.
And we didn't know. No. I know now.
Okay, so.
And so it's just.
Here you go. Do you remember the first time you heard Smells Like Teen Spirit recorded?
Yeah.
You remember the first time you heard that? And it was like.
I think I do.
It was so gigantic. And like, now you can't even talk about it because you're like you're cheesy if you're nostalgic for that. But it was before. That was like all. Jack and Dino said it in Hype or whatever it was, that like 10 was out. It was doing okay. Facelift was out. It was doing okay. Bad Motorfinger was out. It was doing okay. And then that
all good records.
All world class records. All those bands will be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then that song, that fucking song, just blew everyone's head off. Because it was so, like, it was grunge. It was that dirty, but it was so commercial and, like, it was just gigantic.
Absolutely.
And, like, and that there was no more magical a time than, like, 1990, 91, when it was just, oh, Jesus.
91 to, like, 98.
Still magical. Oh,
you're not even going to believe this. I was shooting Soundgarden at my studio, and Kim Thayil brings in the cassette Nirvana Smells Like
Cassette.
Not even released. Like we got, you guys, I just got this from Sub Pop. We're going to listen to it. And we put it on repeat, and we're just all sitting there going, oh, when we heard that song, we're like, what the frick? I mean, we were losing our minds. And we just sat there, and we're all looking at each other, and we're just like, we are so happy for them. Like, we were like, dude, you guys nailed it. And that's all we listened to, the whole photo shoot.
That one song.
We played the whole record on repeat. And we're just unbelievable.
Album.
We had the pre-release. Yeah. And we're like, holy shite, man.
Do you guys,
unbelievable.
Do you guys remember when Songs for the Deaf came out?
Yeah.
You do remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So when that came out, everybody's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, Steve, you should, have you heard of these, you know, these Caius guys, or have you heard of these Queens of the Stone Age guys, this or that? I'm like, yeah, I think I did Queens of the Stone Age. They were like one of my day bands at Bumbershoot last summer, like, and yeah, they're like this bus and trailer band or something. And they're like, huh? I'm like, yeah, they did Bumbershoot, and they were one of the day bands. They're like, have you heard Songs for the Deaf? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, well, that's, you're stupid. Go buy it. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So that night I go to dinner with a friend, and I buy and I buy David Lee Roth's solo album.
Eat Him and Smile.
Eat Him and Smile. Yes. I buy Eat Him and Smile by David Lee Roth, and I buy this Songs for the Deaf album by Queens of the Stone Age.
Those weren't the same time, dude.
It doesn't.
Those were not the same time.
Right, no, I bought
the... You were doing back catalog.
Yeah, oh, back catalog
work with David Lee Roth. My bad.
Jeff, okay. You can buy CDs after they're released.
No, you can't.
So
not that
I buy
Jeff
this,
did, but
I
he
buy
could.
The songs for the
buy,
Deaf.
Why would you buy David Lee Roth?
Because he's
in
awesome.
In 2002. No,
so I buy Eat 'Em and Smile by David Lee Roth. Definitely, like, why, you know, I was thinking to myself... You know, Billy Sheehan, Steve Vai, blah, 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 Greg Bissonette.
Don't ever talk shit about that record.
I'm not. I love the record. I still have it. And then I buy this Songs for the Deaf.
Yeah.
I put it in my CD player. It stays in my CD player for one calendar year.
Yeah, I could see that.
I listen to that record over and over and over and over. And you know that part where it's like, say, everybody's like super quiet, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, and all, bah, nah, 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 and it starts to, I fell for that.
Yeah.
Like, I have it cranked up to a million. I have it cranked up
every
to
time.
A million. I'm like, what's he saying? And
you're
all
like,
of a sudden,
you're like
and
Elf with
and the first
with
time,
Jack in the Box.
Right. And the first time I do that, rest in peace, Perkins, my dog Perkins. My dog is like clinging to the ceiling of the truck, like, Daddy. Why is this at, like, volume 9 million? I'm like, because it's Queens of the Stone Age. Come on.
I was doing a project right then, just like a year before then. It was me and Duff and Mark singing.
Yeah.
And he had to, like, stop doing that project because he was like, I guess I'm going to join Queens of the Stone Age. Oh.
Thank God he did that project.
Damn. I was taking pictures of Sunny Day Real Estate when Nate said, I'm going to join Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
And they were sad. They were so sad. I mean, we're happy for him, but they were sad.
Were you at that show at Mo?
Yeah.
It was like the last Sunny Day Real Estate show. Yeah. And Dave was there, like, putting eyeballs on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Sunny Day Real Estate
He was
said,
building his band?
Well, they said they would only take pictures with me. I was their exclusive photographer.
Did you do?
How cool is
Karen,
that?
You're
so
you fucking.
Everything.
Karen's like a fucking rock star.
What are you talking about? Of course she is.
How did we get you on the show?
Well,
how did we get you on the
debatable.
Show?
That's debatable. Yeah.
Please,
did
no
you,
one say.
Did you?
Hey, because Jeff's such a baller. No one say that. No one. No one say that.
No one has said that.
No.
Good.
You said it.
But I'm considering it.
No, I did not say that. No.
I mean, you brought it into the lexicon.
Thank you, Steve.
I got to watch that Queens of the Stone Age the first shows they did were at the Troubadour.
Oh, fantastic.
You know the stage of the Troubadour's got that little incut, and I was like right in the corner. I was like, Dave Grohl was sitting where that heater is.
Wow.
And I was like, for the whole fucking thing, I was like, oh my God. And there's that video of it. It's just the most, it was the most insane thing I ever saw.
Oh my gosh. I have a picture that I'm going to bring out, but it's Josh from Stone Age and Dave Grohl and Stuart Copeland. And they were doing a film festival and they were all in town. I got all of them together.
Oh,
and it's
awesome.
Just kind of like a click. They're standing right up on Capitol Hill. And I just found it. I'm like,
oh my God.
What is this? And Dave Grohl looks like he's 12. Okay. Yeah. You're going to love it. So I'm just going to roll it out because it's so fun.
That's amazing.
And they were hanging with Stuart Copeland and he's like telling them how to do movie music, you know, because he had transcended into movie music.
Was that when he made that movie, The Percussionist or whatever?
And he did. And he did the score.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been. Seattle, we love you.
Seriously, and it goes on and on.
No, Seattle's beautiful.
Yeah,
brilliant.
And it keeps being that way.
Yeah.
Besides Aaron Jones, what local bands should people be checking out right now that you're aware of?
Hard question.
Mm.
Because you can't go to shows.
He wasn't asking you. He was asking Karen.
I like Hobosexual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, they're a two-piece.
Thunder Pussy are fantastic. Yep. Yeah.
Local heroes.
Who else? Oh, shoot. I don't know. You know, like, I go to Easy Street and rock out because they have all those bands. And so, like, Orville Peck was just, I mean, because I love Sub Pop. And they got a lot. Sub Pop has a lot of great content coming out. Like, I think they took a couple years off. And now they're back at it, you know. And who else would I say? Oh, that's a great question. Of course, you're asking me, and I haven't been out to a club in 9 months.
There's that.
Exactly.
It's tough.
Oh, I just thought I said that because I'm ahead of everybody.
Oh, the Gemini. Oh. Yeah. Jeff Rouse, man. I love that. Yep. Have you seen? Have so you heard him? Should,
of course I have.
Ah, oh, that's
so
good.
He has. He has a new. He has a new project called what?
The Gemini.
Bringing us up to speed. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and they have a second album coming out. It's going to come out.
Yeah.
In a couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Keith Ash is in the band, yeah. and yeah. oh, it's just it's great.
Is Kathy still?
Okay, because I'm...
I don't think they have a girl.
I'm old.
Yeah. I don't know. Ring the bell.
Gary?
We need to seek that.
Who's
Please,
Keith
call
Ash?
In and let us know.
Keith Ash is an amazing bass player around town.
Well, his whole band is like
but
crazy
Sean,
good.
But who's playing drums, though? Because Sean moved away, right? Sean's in San Diego.
Oh, he did? I don't know. I haven't seen the new video. Yeah. They just tagged. They just said, Karen, we got this new thing coming. But I went to the opening of his record release last year.
Second? The first one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the second one hasn't happened because we can't, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Let me think who else. Dang it.
There's these two artists in Seattle we're going to try to have on. One, her name is Shayna Shepherd.
Okay.
And another is a duo called Mirror Gloss.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm like kind of pumped on both of them.
I'm pretty excited. We're going to have a guest on soon. A friend of mine, he was a stagehand who loaded and unloaded trucks.
His name is Sammy Hagar.
You know,
that's
every
a complete
trucks.
That's a complete
fabrication.
That's a total.
He would load and unload trucks of tequila.
Hey, or every
he would pay people bottom dollar
of cash
to do that.
He
right.
would load and unload right. trucks of cash.
Seriously.
From tequila sales.
Well, every great ending has a small beginning, so it's not a bad story.
You just blew my mind.
We all start somewhere, man. One of my other favorite local bands would have to be Macklemore, man. That guy is a genius. I love him.
Where did he come from?
That guy does not have a bad song.
Where did he come
and
from?
Thank God he's Seattle. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have never, like, I took my daughter and we went on their, at the Key Arena when they sold it out 3 nights in a row on this first tour. And he came back, the whole tour ends in Key Arena and they sold out for 3 nights and there's no local band has ever done this. And he comes, so we go on the last night of the entire tour and he comes on stage. Well, he's singing. And then he goes off stage and then he comes back on stage and he goes, every single person that has been on my tour, come on stage right now. And these people just start coming out. And it's like 11:30. And he is just racking up the fines. And he's like, I don't even effing care. Yeah. And the balloons start falling. And all these people are on stage. I mean, like, literally, it filled the frickin' stage. And the guy's like, oh, I love all these people. And we're just, I mean, everyone's just cheering. And you're just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I had never seen this in my life, but the guy preaches sobriety, right? Like, he's like, I used to think when I drank all this alcohol, I'd be more creative. That is not the truth for me. He's like, I get more creative when I don't. And he's like, it took me down and all this stuff. And I mean, and he said that like four times, like four different intervals of that. And I was like, I have never in my life seen a rock star preach sobriety. And it clearly is working for him.
Sure.
And the guy's just a genius, you know? And then they came back and he sold it out again and la, la, la. I mean, I love him.
That's
mean,
awesome.
So I'd call him local, although he's national, but we're claiming
him.
He's our home.
He's both. He's both.
I did
understood.
Sound for him at the Vera Project in like 2008.
Oh, that is so cool.
And I remember like there barely being anybody there. And then there was a bigger show. And then next time there was a bigger show than that. So
yeah. Yeah.
Dan, was I at any of those shows?
Maybe you were. I don't know.
Man, well, I'm going with that. I love him.
I mean, say no.
He does us right.
Well, Karen, I think we're good.
Yay.
Couldn't Karen, be happier that you could come down.
What, thank you. I love you guys.
Once again, the story, we've had some like really good guests with these really killer, you know, back in the day stories. We might have to bring you back again just because, you know, there's just too much. There's too much. We might have to bring you back again.
Fair warning.
Fair warning.
Incoming! Fair warning.
That's your David Lee Roth nod.
Eat him and smile, baby. Eat him and smile.
Wah, wah.
All right. This has been...
That's a good record.
This has been Seattle Today. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.